there is, I was telling it in the before when you were with Dirk, that there are now two experiments which just started, GLUEX and Class 12, and especially GLUEX is devoted to the search of exotic. And they started to collect data. There are two resonances not confirmed yet, with 1,400 and 1,600 MeV, which have exotic quantum numbers. But if exist, if they really exist, this should be confirmed, and this is what these experiments will do. So definitely the search for exotic is going farther.
Do they only search for exotics in QCD or for also for standard model exotics?
So beyond QCD. Beyond these are all QCD. This is what I was saying, is all QCD. But for other particles, then we should think how to make them, because for QCD, of course, we can make quark-antiquark and something else beyond quark-antiquark. Now, in the standard model, we should think which kind of bound states or which kind of particles or particles beyond the standard model. So this would be the question what we are looking at. I mean, beyond the standard model, people are looking all the time. But as we discussed also before, at present, this is the horror scenario, is that there is the Higgs and only the Higgs and nothing else. And this is the state today of the art today. The Higgs there is, and this is the standard model Higgs, the coupling all fit, and then nothing else. So probably that means that the future will be to do maybe an electron-positron machine. So we said before that proton-proton scattering, which is now used at LHC, is good for discovering, is a discovery machine. But if then you would like to do a precision, and this is the only thing, what can we do next? If we don't find anything else, so what can one do in high energy physics if not making a collider with electron-positron, for instance, and tune it at the Higgs mass, and then make a Higgs production collider, so Higgs production, and calculate very precisely all the decays of the Higgs. Because now you know the LHC, you have proton-proton, and then you produce the Higgs and many other things. And then you have to look for the events, and this is, of course, a rather costly stuff. If, on the other hand, we would have electron-positron at the Higgs mass, then we would basically create only the Higgs, and we could study very precisely only the Higgs, much better than now.
But
yes?
It's also completely different that if you look at Airshow experiments, for example, where energies are much higher than colliders.
Yeah, but how can you control all the particles produced? But you do not have all the nice things of an experiment.
Yes.
Is that you have audio detectors which takes everything. Of course, we have energies which goes beyond that. This is why the usual argument, we will create a black hole which will devour all everything and so on, which was put forward is complete, is nonsense, because we already have this collider made by nature, but simply we don't have the detectors around it. Yes? This is as it looks like, yes.
Because, yes. I mean, up to now, the Higgs potential is not really entirely measured. Because you don't have the Higgs-Zeff interaction. As long
right.
as you don't have them, so it could be every Higgs.
What I mean is the coupling of the Higgs to all the other particles
okay. Follows
that. The self-coupling, that is the next point. I mean, I would have nothing against if the potential of the Higgs, instead of being the 5^4 potential with the Mexican head, maybe it is like the logarithm, maybe it's like a dilaton, the word presented yesterday. It's okay, would have nothing against, it would be a slight variation, wouldn't. So, but for that we need the self-coupling. But that of course...
I mean, there are theories where you have pseudo-Goldstone Higgses.
Yeah, but this is a scalar what we have. So at present, what we have is a scalar state. So it's not a pseudo-scalar. And so on. Also, I know that there are also this idea of a pseudo-scalar Higgs and so on, but at present it is a scalar, the scalar state. So it looks like at present it is the Higgs of the standard model. Of course, we have to check the self-coupling and all possible decays. You know, maybe you can have in one channel 2 sigma deviation, but would we ever believe a 2 sigma? I think that experience has shown that it is better not to believe a 2 sigma, definitely, because I mean, now we had a 3 sigma effect, which disappeared completely with the 750, and so variations which are still in this range, I wouldn't really bother too much now. Of course, the other possibility, the problem of the electron-positron scattering is that the electron doesn't couple so much to the Higgs because the coupling is proportional to the part fermion mass. So electron-positron doesn't couple so strong to the Higgs. It would be much better to have muons, a muon collider. This was the idea that Rubbia was putting forward. Of course, there is a problem, is that the muon decays. It decays, but it has a rather long lifetime of 10 at the minus 6 seconds, something like that, which, of course, I mean, long. It is very short for us, but very long for particles. And it could still go around. And then because of the being very fast, you still have a dilatation factor due to relativity. And then one could have a muon-antimuon collider, and that would increase the rate of production of the Higgs because the cross-section is higher. So this is another possibility. But I think that in the end, one will go for an electron-positron machine. So this is what I think will happen. So electron-positron machine, and then one will go with a very precise determination of all decay channels and so on. Not of them, all of them have been measured yet and so on. But we will see, of course. But if nothing else will be found at LHC, I think this is the only possibility. Okay, let me then go back to QCD and introducing quarks, or let's say QCD Lagrangian. Because I remind that we have the Young-Mills part, which is given by minus 1/2 trace G mu nu, G mu nu. And G mu nu is equal to the mu A nu minus the nu A mu minus IJ0 A mu A nu. And A mu, it is a matrix, a 3x3 matrix, which is made of 8 components, the 8 gluons. And these are these Hermitian matrices, A going from 1 to 8 for an C equal 3. Now, the QCD Lagrangian is the sum of two pieces. The Young-Mills part, which contains the gluon and their self-interaction. And then there is the sum, I will not put it explicitly, but it's the Einstein notation, the quarks, where the quarks contains a flavor index, U, D, S, and if you want, you can also put the heavier quarks, but I will concentrate on the light one. Then we have I gamma mu, the mu, minus mi qi, and the mu is the famous covariant derivative, which is also a matrix. It is the identity, then C the mu minus I g0 a mu. So that if you put this inside this part, you have, okay, the usual piece, which is the canonical derivative acting on the quarks, and then you have an interaction of the gluons with quark antiquark. So you basically get gluons, quark antiquark. And well, now I think we should prove, I think it is necessary to prove at least once, to see that this Lagrangian is white under transformation of the color. So the basic idea of the QCD Lagrangian, it is constructed under the requirement, then it is invariant under local color transformation. And local color transformation, they were, let's see if we remember. So the A mu is going to U A mu U dagger plus I divided G0 U the mu U dagger. And the quark field, all of them transform in the following way simply, with the matrix U, where U is local, that is dependent on space-time, and it is a 3x3 unitary matrix, special unitary matrix. Okay, so this is then we should show that this QCD Lagrangian is invariant under the transformation of both things at the same time. The invariance of this piece we already have discussed previously. Okay, we didn't do the exact proof, but we have. I told you, and this one can show by some calculation that G mu nu transform as U, G mu nu U dagger. That is, when we apply it here, you get U, U dagger, U, U dagger, and then they all eat each other up, and this is what it should happen.
You can do it in one line.
Hmm?
The last line, you can prove this in one line. This is extremely easy, because you can just write G mu nu as the commutator of the covariant derivative, and then it's one line.
Yes, I can also do like that, yes. With the mu, the
because
nu.
Because you know how the covariant derivative has to transform? Because it is a covariant derivative.
Yes, we can do it now, how it transforms, right. But of course, when I did the Young-Mills part, I still didn't introduce any covariant derivative, because it was not still there. Because the Young-Mills part, in principle, can live without the quarks. Still, I could use this as a mathematical trick to do it. Okay, but I would like then to show that this part is invariant under color fields. Remember that here each quark actually contains three pieces. So for instance, we have a piece which is red, blue, and green. So this is why I can apply this transformation. This is a 3x3 matrix acting on a three column with three elements. So then we can do this. I then consider only the first piece, because the piece with Q bar E, QE is obviously invariant because it gets a U dagger and a U. So if you take QE dagger, this is going to QE dagger U dagger. So the piece with Q bar E, QE is going to QE U dagger U, QE, which is obviously invariant. So what we would like now to show is that the other piece, the piece with the covariant derivative, is invariant. So this is Q bar E gamma mu. And then I just put what the mu is. This is the mu minus I G0 A mu. Close Q. This consists of two parts. Q bar E gamma mu the mu Q plus the I eat up each other, so they have G0 Q gamma mu A mu Q. So this is the piece with the covariant derivatives from the QCD Lagrangian that I would like to show that it is invariant under this transformation. And Gibt's Fragen? Do you understand? So I just took this the first piece. This is just as it looks the first piece. Now what I would like, I will apply the transformation and check that this is invariant. So this is what we would like to see, that the QCD Lagrangian is invariant under this transformation. So how do we do? I just take the last part and I say U3, SU3 color, and then I have from the second piece Q bar E, Q bar gives me a U dagger, E gamma mu, d mu, U, Q. And then I have the second part with G0, Q bar, U dagger, gamma mu, U, A mu, U dagger, plus I, G0, U, D mu, U dagger, U, Q. So I just put these two transformations into this expression, and then this is what I get. And everything should wonderfully cancel, but one should do it properly, because it's not so trivial because of this derivative. From the first one, I will get, for instance, two terms. I will get Q bar, U dagger, E gamma mu, U then mu Q, when the derivative is acting on Q, but there will be a second term with U dagger E gamma mu, the mu mu Q. Okay, here U dagger and the U cancel, but here not yet. Here I cannot, because there is a derivative. Here is a U dagger. Then let's see the second piece. It is G0 Q bar U dagger gamma mu U A mu U dagger U Q. Okay, here I can, from the first piece, I can make many simplification. Then I still have the last one, which is plus I Q bar U dagger gamma mu U the mu U dagger, and then I still have a U Q. Okay? So I would like to cancel these two. I would like to cancel these two quantities, and then everything would be fine. In order to do it, I have to apply this trick as U dagger, U dagger is equal 1. That is, the mu U dagger is equal 0. That is, the mu U dagger plus U. The mu U dagger is equal 0. That is U. The mu U dagger is equal minus the mu U times U dagger. Okay? Then I put the last one inside, the last piece can be transformed into minus I Q bar U dagger gamma mu. The mu U dagger U Q, but U dagger U cancel, and then I see that this piece is exactly that piece with an extra sign. So in the end, this one and this one, the sum of these two is 0. Then all what I get is Q bar E gamma mu the mu Q plus G 0 Q bar gamma mu A mu Q. And that's it. And which is exactly our starting point, which is nothing else than the Q bar E gamma mu the mu Q. So this is the invariance of the QCD Lagrangian under local color transformation. So this is then proven. Of course, in order to do it, we have to transform at the same time both. There is, however, more than, because when we go to composite hadronic theories, we never see the color, because hadrons are white from the very beginning. So actually, of course, this is fundamental, very important, but when one goes to composite theories, you don't see color anymore. So you should actually work with the other symmetries, which are not exact, but very important phenomenologically, which is flavor and then chiral symmetry. First, we should do flavor then. In order to do it, let me then first... Ah, okay, I didn't say it here, but this is of course a sum over all different... flavor is understood, obviously. So there is the part with the U bar U, the part with D bar D, and so on and so forth. So the next thing is to show that the at least one piece of the QCD Lagrangian is invariant under flavor transformation. And let's do like that. I do not erase.